Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday. As we get ready for the Big Ten Championship game. On Saturday night, Derek Williams in a few moments. First of all, our play-by-play call today, Mike Crispino with the call.
And Jennings between the rings, gives to O'Quinn at the high post. Backdoor cut, it's Holiday. He catches, he missed the layup. Porzingis got the offensive rebound. He stuffed it home. And the Knicks lead by two.
Mike Crispino with the call as Kristaps Porzingis, his putback, giving the Knicks a 104-102 lead over the Minnesota Timberwolves. And yes, the Knicks miraculously go on to win 106-104. All right, Derek Williams joins us. Derek, you know the road to a Big Ten championship. You were part of two Big Ten championship teams. What are you seeing out there with this group?
Hey, I'll tell you this right here, Steve. I think that I'm good luck. I don't know. I don't want to put it all on me. But I'm thinking that I'm a little good luck to this program, like Penn State, period. I just think I'm a little good luck. I came on this year, went to the Big Ten Championship. Hey, it's a little bit of luck right now that's going on.
When you're on the sideline, regardless of the score, what attitude do you sense from the players, Derek?
You know what? The confidence that these guys have, it's second to none. It's something that every great team that I've been on, it doesn't matter, like, just how bad the game is going. It seems like they know, like, hey, we're going to get this together and we're going to win this game. I've been talking about their confidence all year and how it's grown and how the leaders have stepped up, how Trace has stepped up as a leader, how Saquon has stepped up as a leader. B-Bill was already a leader, but just those roles that those guys are playing in, you can just see it in their eyes, just the confidence and how they seem like they're just together as one. That's definitely what I'm seeing there.
When you played, and I think you know what I'm about to say, Penn State would be down, and Joe Paterno would be going up and down the sideline saying, okay, who's going to make a play? Who's going to make a play? How am I doing so far? Pretty good?
Yeah, you're doing pretty good. It's more like, somebody needs to make a play.
Pretty close to that. What do you see from the Penn State, this current coaching staff, when they have to get in that spot?
You know, like I said, it's not even the coaches that I'm seeing that's going up and down. It's these kids, when they're getting over to the sideline, man, they're just like, hey, all right, let's forget about that drive. Let's move on to the next one. Hey, wait a second. You know, wait a second. Let's calm down. You know, we're going to make a play on this one. Everybody execute their responsibilities. That's what I'm seeing. And like I said, that confidence and that leadership over there, it's, you know, I think that's the biggest difference from what I've seen previous years and what I'm seeing this year.
You've been around quarterbacks that exude confidence and leadership. Michael Robinson, perfect example. And obviously, Darryl Clark. When you're around Trace, what are you seeing in him, that intangible that maybe an average person wouldn't see?
He's a winner. He's a winner. He won in high school out this area where I'm at now, out in out in Virginia, and that just feeds in them. You know, if you're a winner, you're always going to be a winner. You have that winner mindset, and when he's with those guys, I think that everybody's just looking at him, and he just shows, like, he's poised, and then he shows that he's just under control, and he has the same tangibles as Michael Robinson and Darryl Clark did. You know, and it's just showing on the field. He's making plays. When everything breaks down, he's not just sitting there taking a sack. He's gaining 3 yards, you know, diving for first downs, doing everything that he can do to help the team win.
Okay, one of the keys to the game, will be the Penn State passing attack against what's a very good Wisconsin secondary, 21 interceptions, third in the nation, 11 the last 3 weeks. Sometimes they press. So, Derek, you played the position. So tell everybody, what does it take to avoid press coverage? And then I'll take it a step further. How important does the slot guy and Gesicki become because they aren't being pressed?
Well, that's where your mismatches is going to be. If you can rotate those guys, put your best guys in a slot and put them outside, you know, that's where your mismatches are going to be, because no one's going to press your slot receiver. You can play with leverage. Gesicki, he might be on the outside leverage of a linebacker. You know, the slot guy might have leverage on nickel back or the outside linebacker there. So you can play with leverage. And there's some things that you can do in a pass game that'll help you out with just by leverage-wise. Now, on that press coverage, and I tell a lot of the guys that, and I tell guys this on the sidelines now, you can be a little bit more patient. You know, have these guys think of that you're running one route, then change it up on them real quick. You know, they might have inside leverage on a press. You know, force them to take one more step inside and let them bump you into your route where now you have more sideline to work. You know, it's a lot of things. The coaches can help a little bit by doing motions. The coaches can do rub routes. The coaches can do a lot of things for someone to take an outside release and somebody underneath them to run right behind that outside release to help him get off the ball and get open. You know, so it's a lot of things that they look at. It's a lot of things that once they sit there and they figure out the leverages, they figure out what the safeties are doing and everything. It's a lot of things that can help them in that press game.
What about that double move that Godwin made? You know, route running is so important. You had the best view of it of anybody. I mean, what did you see in that play that maybe you hadn't seen all season?
Hey, I tell you, when I was in the NFL and even in college, the main thing about a double move is you run the first route.
Yeah.
You run the first one, then you change your mind. What he did was execute that first route, and that's how you get open with that. You have to run that first route just the exact way that you were running if you were getting the ball and wasn't a double move called on that. So with him doing that, you know, that just showed to me how much their route running is improving during the year. He ran the first route, ran that first out. He had his eyes on the quarterback and then took it up. And, you know, every time it's run the route, then change your mind right there. So that's what I saw, and, you know, I was impressed with that because, you know, as the season goes on, you want to see the improvements, and we've been seeing that all year from these guys.
Okay, the return game is obviously important in this one. Now, obviously, for Penn State, they only want Miles Sanders to return one kickoff the entire night. But how close is Sanders to breaking one, in your opinion, based on what you see?
I think he's very close, and the thing is, the more that you have the confidence and the more that you have the guys up front believing that, hey, you know, if I just hold on to my guy one more second, Miles can break it, you know, that's when you're going to start getting it. Miles start getting in a groove where he's breaking it to the 30-yard line. So now it's not even in Miles like, oh, yeah, I'm going to score in this one. It's more in all these guys, the other 10 guys that are on the field, they're saying, okay, we're one more block away. We're one more block away. And I think everybody's feeling that, you know, so everybody's going to go and do that extra effort of just holding on to their block or, you know, doing the extra to get that one, that extra second where he can break it and it'd be a big play. You know, everyone looks at the returner and everything like that, like, oh, he returned the kick. It's so much more that has to go on with the other guys that are out there. And I think everybody's starting to feel that, you know, and I'm looking for a big game, looking for a big kick return or punt return to come out with Reed, you know. So I think everybody's like starting to believe that they can do it. Usually if you have a bad returner, most of the guys take the play off like, hey, you know,
right,
he's not going to get past the 20. But if you have a good returner, everybody starts feeling it.
On the punt return part, what are you seeing on the punt return part? You know, because obviously, you know, teams are trying to, they're really trying to force as many fair catches as possible. But what are you seeing on the punt return part?
You know what? It's so much different now, especially in college right now, because everybody's doing these rugby punts. Everybody's doing these crazy formations where, you know, the blocking is a little bit different. Blocking is a little bit more tougher. It's a lot of one-on-one matchups. So it's a little bit different in college. I couldn't stand when people did the rugby style punting. I think Ohio State did it later on in my years, where they'll do the rugby style and it's just like you're pinned in one side. The most important thing for a punt returner is that just imagine if you have cars or something coming at you 100 miles per hour, if you just make one move and get north, that's where you usually break things up. And I've been telling Reed, like, just make one move and go straight north. And most of the cars, most of those players are just going to ride past you, going to run right past you. And the only thing they can do is get an arm on you. So it's just really catching that ball, one move, getting north.
All right, when you look at the play of Trace McSorley in terms of, you know, we talked about his leadership on the sideline, what has stuck out to you and where do you think he's better now, Derek, from your perspective compared to what you saw early in the season?
Early in the season, I'll tell you, in that option read, I don't think he pulled it enough to help him or even Saquon. He's pulling the ball a little bit more now to balance it out where both of them, where that defender has to respect the threat of Trace running the ball or Saquon. And then just in the passing game, his 50-50 balls, I mean, you know, they're probably the best in college football right now, and he's giving these guys the opportunity to make a play. You know, I always tell people, you know, with a quarterback, you want them, one, he's on time, so he never seems to throw the ball hard. He's always on time. That's where you see great catches from. Sometimes when you see these quarterbacks and everybody say, oh, he has a great arm, he has a strong arm, he can throw it through a wall. No receiver wants to catch a ball that is getting thrown through a wall. That hurts.
Right, yeah.
You know, that
exactly.
Hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts. So if he has touch, which Trace has, and a lot of these guys are making these catches, I remember what's the number three's name?
DeAndre Tompkins.
He made a big time catch. It was a low ball. Trace was on time, but it was just low. And it fell right into his hand like some tissue. He has a nice ball, and he's throwing the ball on time right now and giving these guys a 50-50 chance to get up and make a play.
I remember when Elway played for Denver, they used to talk about the cross of the ball being on everybody's chest because he threw it so hard. That's not your kind of guy, Derek.
No, not at all. I think Anthony Morelli was a great, great, great quarterback. He had a strong arm. But I'll tell you, like, he threw the ball so hard, I used to tape up my fingers underneath my gloves because it like stung every time you catch the ball.
Yeah, exactly. That comes into play because you want that ball laid in there. Are you seeing McSorley do a better job of leading receivers into yards after the catch?
Oh yeah, most definitely. The guy I saw on a crossing route where he's leading these guys, and like I said, it's just basically just throwing the ball on time and having a nice soft ball out there where these guys can make a play. You know, so he's definitely leading these guys, and I think he's feeling more comfortable, and he's also reading the defense. It's going to their second and third option sometimes, and you know, it's looking good right now. And very, very few mistakes. I can't even remember an interception. When was his last time he threw one?
Yeah, Indiana. Yeah, it's the last one.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Now, Saquon Barkley, you played with guys like Tony Hunt, Austin Scott, Evan Royster. What are the qualities you see in Barkley now that you're on that field seeing him on an every down basis?
Me and LeVar were on the sideline last week. And Saquon, by far, didn't have one of the games that, you know, we're used to seeing this amazing, or just amazing things happen. But I told LeVar before the game, I said, honestly, and one of the best running backs I've ever seen in college football with my own two eyes was Reggie Bush. I said, he's right under Reggie Bush. I said, and that's just me. And I've looked at a lot of college football, and I've seen a lot of great running backs, and I've played with great running backs. I said, this kid right here is probably right under Reggie Bush for me as far as the best running back that I've seen. Just his determination, the way he makes, you know, something, he makes big things happen when it seems like, you know, he's getting the ball 4 yards in the backfield, and there's five guys already there. He's making all five of them miss, jump over him, do a backflip, do a front flip, do a cartwheel, do a handspring, then do something else, and then get in the end zone. It's just crazy the balance and everything that this kid has. And, you know, I'm telling a lot of my other buddies that play for different teams, and they're like, oh, you know, you think the kid from LSU is you don't think he's better? I said, no way. You know, Saquon, he has the ability to do everything. His hands are great. He has great speed. And I'm just a big fan of his right now.
Yeah, and the blitz pickup he made on Hicks, we talked about the double move that Godwin made. It was Saquon's blitz pickup on the corner blitz that made a big difference on that play.
Yeah, and just the team, just the, like I said, the love that he has for the team, the love he has for his group. Yeah. I can, you know, it was times when he was out the game and he wanted all the running backs to score. You know, hey, did I do something wrong for, like, you know, if I didn't score and if we can get some of the other guys to come in and score. You know, just the love that he has for that group and the love he has for the team is crazy.
Two more questions for you, then I'll let you go. And the first one is this. As a guy that played a lot of offense in your career, when you look at the Penn State defense, what would concern you as an offensive player about Penn State's defense?
They have some speed rushers as far as first off with that defensive line. Those guys, third and long, those guys' ears are back and they are coming. You know, so it's sometimes when they're only, you know, they only have their down four that's coming and they're putting pressure on every quarterback that we've played so far. So as a receiver, I'll be trying to rush my routes right there. And I think that's the biggest concern right now. Marcus Allen, I can't say enough about him running across the middle, and he will tattoo you every time that you come around there. And he's so eager to get down there and to make a play tackling-wise. And with him, I just want to see him get one or two interceptions. You know, but, I mean, he's coming down and putting his nose in everything. So, those are two guys that I would definitely – those are two things on the defense that I look at. And also Reed as a corner. I don't think he gets enough credit as a corner and what he's doing as a corner right now, because he's shutting guys down, and he's doing a good job there.
Derek, and finally, what are a couple things that you think are going to be important Saturday night?
Ah, man, weather the storm. That's the first thing that I would say, weather the storm. It's going to be so emotional for these guys where it seems like you're just going off of adrenaline itself, just that first 4 minutes of the game until you're like, all right, shoot, I'm playing in this game, and everything starts slowing down. I would say weather the storm. When things don't go your way or whatever, just weather that storm. If we can do that and start off fast, if we're on the top end of that storm, if we can do that, that's what I would think would help us get this start fast with those guys. Our receivers are going to have to make some plays this game, because that defensive line and those linebackers that Wisconsin have, they're really good, they're big, they're physical, and I think our receivers are going to have to beat that press man-to-man coverage, because every team that we've played so far, you know, every team that we've played so far, they've done the same thing. They've pressed our receivers, try to take Saquon out, and try to get Trace to beat him in the air. Now, we've done that 10 weeks, and we've done that, you know, what, 8 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
But you know, I think everybody's still going to have that same mindset. So our receivers are going to have to make a big game, have a big game, and I think that with just us weathering that first storm, that's going to be the big thing.
If it's 10 weeks in a row, then it's been really, really good.
Yeah.
Hey, Derek, Jack and I have said to each other many times, what, you know, we've picked up so much from you as the season's gone along. We appreciate it. It's great to have you on the team.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you, buddy. I have to drive out there, so I'll be out there tomorrow night, late tomorrow night.
All right. We look forward to getting you there. Thanks, Derek, so much.
Thank you.
Derek Williams, sideline analyst, Penn State Sports Network, 2 Big Ten championship rings to his credit. We'll be back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Our predictions in the final half hour. My brother will join me to try and just continue to bury me into the turf, of which he seems to take great delight in. That'll be in the final half hour. Heather Dinich of ESPN on our show tomorrow. Try to hear everybody up to speed with what they're thinking, as if anybody does know what they're thinking with the college football play. I know I don't know what they're thinking. But you know what? in the end, it doesn't matter to me. Just go out and play. After that, the rest of it takes care of itself. My father always told me, don't worry about things you can't control. He always told me that, and you know I've said that on this show before. Well, Dad's right. If you can't control it, don't worry about it. Okay? What can you control? The game. Worry about that. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, and Hommel's Wharf. How much further behind can I fall on the
permit? Where Sealand, taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, and Hommel's Wharf. In each of the next 3 weeks, this segment with my brother will revert back to Friday. I'm not going to travel to Newark until after the show's over with next week for the Penn State Pitt game at the Prudential Center. Then the game at Madison Square Gardens on a Sunday, so not leaving until Saturday. And then Christmas, I'm not going anywhere. I've had more fun doing this, and we're going to extend it into next year anyway, so... But my brother now joins us, looking for several kill shots here. Welcome.
Hi. Another call.
Hi. Another humble week for the leader.
Hello, Justin.
Hello, Pidio. Okay. So, Brett, you're the one that has all the games, right? And you have Sean's predictions, correct?
Yep, that is correct.
All right, so start us off with game number one.
All right, one second here. I got so many things going on. But here, all right, so Pac-12 championship game, Colorado versus Washington.
Colorado versus Washington. All right, let the leader of the pack lead.
Hey, you gained a game. That's good.
Oh, right? Yeah. Hey, look, if you're not the lead dog, the view never changes.
Let me guess, you're going to keep this going. Until you catch up with me. We'll be next year. The same thing will be going. Kevin's 94 and 52.
Steve's 52 and 94.
Yeah, when is the end?
When is the end? I want to keep you on the show.
Well, no, I mean as far as this picking goes.
The Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. So we got a ways to go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Colorado versus Washington. All right. Boy, what a good game, huh?
Yeah,
Colorado's
this is a good
a great
game.
Story. Washington, I've been watching them all year, and they're great, but USC put a friggin' number on them. And then you have to ask a question, how good is USC? You know, right
well,
now,
USC who also beat Colorado.
I think Alabama would say, I don't want to play USC. So... I'm picking Washington because they got more reasons to win this game than Colorado does. Washington can go to the Final Four. Washington.
Okay, Brett, what about Sean's pick?
Sean is going with Colorado.
Okay. Okay, I'm going with Colorado for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think Colorado's defense is really, really good. And I also think that their quarterback is a big difference maker. When they lost the game to Michigan, Colorado was playing really well in that game against Michigan until he got hurt. And that's when the game went south. I'm going to go with Colorado in a mild upset here.
It's a good pick. A real good pick. Good football.
It's a real good pick till they lose.
Well, no, I mean, they're a good football team. They haven't lost a game in a long time.
No, they're good.
Yeah, they're real good. I mean, it's no upset if they win. Yeah. I think one thing, though, they're used to playing at home these last two games, and they won't be at home. So.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be on neutral field, Levi's Stadium. Be interesting to see how each team It's going to be interesting to see how each team travels. For example, how many Washington fans go, how many Colorado fans go. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it makes a difference, especially in the college level. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. Both teams have made a living and given up lots of points by outscoring the other opponent. And I just think Oklahoma's defense is just a little bit better. I got Oklahoma 79, Oklahoma State 77.
With Oklahoma State missing a field goal at the end, they could win. Two extra points. There you go. All right, what does Sean have?
Sean is going with Oklahoma. He's going with the Sooners.
I think the difference in this game, and my goodness, it is an oxymoron to say in the Big 12 that I'm picking a team because of its defense. But Oklahoma has a slightly better defense. Now, Oklahoma doesn't have a better defense than any team in the Big 10. I think even Purdue's is better. But I'm going to pick Oklahoma because of defense.
Yep. We all agree.
Okay, tongue in cheek as I say it.
Yeah.
Alrighty, next game up is the American Conference Championship, Temple versus Navy.
UConn should be there.
No.
They finally scored a touchdown.
Well, there you go.
Scored a point in the month of November, UConn.
That explains the parade in Manchester.
Oh, that guy should freaking lose his job. He's so overrated.
Hey, by the way, let me slip this in. Speaking of jobs, it looks like Kevin Wilson in Indiana is going to get fired today, which I find to be surprising. I mean, I am surprised by that.
The football coach?
Yeah. I thought
he did
a good job
this year. They were competitive.
I thought he did a good job, all things considering.
Yeah,
I mean they're having a press conference at 5:15 today, and supposedly that's what they're talking about.
Thank God, UConn's coach—they didn't even score a point in November. I mean, that's my God. And they made fun of Pasquale. Well, at least they scored. You know, this guy's a horrible coach. I forgot his name.
Bob
Temple
Diaco.
Versus Navy.
It's Bob Diaco.
Yeah. Navy averages 342 rushing yards a game. That's amazing.
Their game.
Huh?
That's their game. That's how they play.
Yeah, that's amazing. But Temple averages giving up only 127. So this is the center of the game to me. You know, how's Temple's defense going to stop Navy? On the other hand, the Owls' offense will be able to score against Navy's defense. So I'm going to part of me would love to see Navy win the game, but I got Temple 27-20.
All right, and Sean is going with the Navy midshipmen to win that game.
Well, and I'm going to go with Temple. Obviously, Penn State played them back in September, and I thought it was a good win for Penn State. I think Temple's proven out that it was a good win. I think Temple is better balanced than Navy. I'm going to go with Temple.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I went. Is they can do it all, where Navy's defense gives up a lot of points.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
All right, and to round out the college football scene here, we have Florida versus Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama. Sean's got Alabama, too.
I mean, really, we could take 18 people off the street and then all pick Alabama.
I'm just writing Sean in right now.
Have you ever watched a college football game? No. Who are you picking? Alabama. Okay. I've heard of them.
They haven't given up a touchdown in 6 weeks. Something like that.
Look, they're just an amazing group right now.
That's just incredible. Who wants to play them? You know, it's like, forget about it.
Well,
you know?
The rules say that Florida has to, so.
Only 20 guys show up.
I don't want to play them. We're staying in the hotel.
Yeah. Okay.
All right,
pros.
All right, yep, we're out of the NFL. We have tonight's game, which is Dallas at Minnesota.
Hey, I'm going to stay on with the Cowboys until they lose. The Prescott, Zeke, and Yeah, you're right, Steve. Sean Lee. Sean Lee's having a tremendous season, and that defense revolves around him. I think they're too good for the Vikings, even though the Vikings are at home. I got the Cowboys by 7.
Yeah. And Sean has who?
Sean is also going with the Dallas Cowboys.
You know what's interesting is that Mike Zimmer won't coach the game tonight because of the eye surgery. So I don't know what effect that has on the Vikings, but I mean, I was leaning Cowboys anyway. I'm definitely going with Dallas, even in Minnesota. That's a gorgeous stadium they built. My goodness.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Wow. They did it right.
Yeah, they sure did. It's going to host the Super Bowl next year, I believe.
Oh, wow. Is it a dome or is it outside?
It's a dome. It's a dome, but it's not. Cool. It's not retractable. Not retractable.
Good. I like Super Bowls inside. I don't like them decided by the weather. So.
Well, Penn State's inside on Saturday night. The roof will be closed.
They're going to win that game. They're going to win that game. So,
all right.
Go ahead, Brent.
All right, we are on to the Miami Dolphins are taking on the Ravens in Baltimore.
Mm. Ooh, boy.
Yeah, it is a tough game. And to me, Baltimore's got the only legit, really good defense with no holes. I mean, maybe the Seahawks. But, they've emerged as the best defense in the league, and they absolutely can carry a team. And the quarterback, when he freaks out, he's really good. Joe Flacco. Miami's been a good story. The running back's been a good story. But I'm going to have to take Baltimore at home by 3.
All right.
What is Sean has what?
Sean is going with Tannehill and the boys. He's going with the Miami Dolphins.
Wow.
I need to make up ground. I'll give you a great story from Saturday. On the Football Network, we also do a pick segment, 3 games.
Yeah.
And right now, Jack Hamm and Derek Williams are tied for first, and I'm, of course, the caboose. Okay? So last week, we're picking games at the Michigan State game. And the first 2 games, we all pick the same. We get to the 3rd game, and Jack makes his pick. I picked the same team Jack did. It doesn't matter because I'm not going to make up ground. And Derek looks over. He says, who did Jack pick? So we tell him. He says, I'm picking the team Jack picked. I said, great. I said, the sideline analyst taking a knee so he doesn't lose ground. How about that? I'm picking the Dolphins to win this game.
They're a good team.
Alrighty, and then let's see here. Now we have the Kansas City Chiefs in Atlanta facing off against the Atlanta Falcons.
Another tough game.
I got you on the Denver game the other night. That one I did get you on.
Yeah.
I mean, and he banks in the field goal. I mean, he off the upright.
Yeah, I know. I love his name, the coach for Denver. He goes, did it go in?
It did. I mean, it's interesting. If you listen to the Chiefs play-by-play call that, it's up and it is good. Doesn't mention until later that it hit the upright.
He never. Oh, it's like, wow.
It's like, hey, yo,
my
dude.
My God, you can hear it. Boing.
You can hear it. You can see it.
Yeah. There's something about that sound that even if it's on the radio, you can hear it.
Oh,
you know.
Doink.
I apologize. I can't remember the guy's name, but Matt Ryan's got a new toy to play with on offense. And, you know, you throw Julio Jones in there, and he's got all these weapons now. That offense is tough. And I think Kansas City's kind of reeling. I'm going to take Atlanta by 7, being at home.
All right, and Sean is also going with Atlanta.
I'm taking the Falcons We'll just try and make up ground one little step at a time. There are moments where you feel like you shouldn't lose ground. This is one of them.
Well, you want to know the truth? This is a good week for you to gain ground.
I don't know.
I mean, Miami can beat Baltimore. Can the Vikings beat Dallas? Maybe. Can Kansas City beat Atlanta? Definitely. Yeah. You know? In the next game, oh boy. The last game.
Last game we got here is the New York Giants going to Pittsburgh and facing off against the Steelers.
Yeah, baby.
I'm taking my Giants. I've been taking them the last few. I won the league that you play for pay. I won it again last week. Giants helped me. My third win.
There you go.
Yeah, $60.
legal in most states.
Yeah. Well, now I'm up to $180 almost. So
there you go. IRS.
Well,
on
you know
four.
What? I really, the guy who came in second's got to be so pissed. He was beating me, and it's a confidence point type of thing, where you pick the game and you give a confidence points. How confident you think you're going to be, and it's 1 through 16, how many games there are. So if you think a team is really, really good and they're going to win no matter what, you give that 16, and then you just keep going down. Like this game, the Giants-Pittsburgh, I mean, I would give that a 2. You know, I really don't know who's going to win. Well, I had 3 points on Philly, okay, and I was 2 points behind. So I said, I know this guy in first place, is he's really good at the game. There's no way he took Green Bay. So I switched my pick to Green Bay. I was the only one who took Green Bay, and they won. And I won the pool. And I was so excited. Little things like that will just make me happy with me for a while. So anyway, I'm taking the Giants by 7.
All right, and then Sean has the Steelers winning this one.
No way.
with very little confidence at all, I am picking the New York Football Giants.
Are you really? Wow.
To win the game.
Wow.
Not with a lot of confidence. I think, first of all,
no,
I think Eli Manning. I think Eli Manning quietly is having a really good year.
Yeah, he's never missed a game.
Oh, I know. It's amazing,
it's just
isn't
amazing.
It?
Amazing. Did you see that last week? That who did the Giants play? What do you call it? Cleveland. Cleveland's had 25 quarterbacks in the time that Eli Manning's been with the Giants. That's just amazing.
Oh, I know it's amazing, but I think that Beckham, Cruz, and Shepard have the ability to get into the Pittsburgh secondary and create a lot of problems.
Now,
the Giants
Shepard's
don't have much. Yeah, and I remember when they drafted him, I said he'd be a good slot receiver for him, and he's done just that. And I also feel the Giants don't run the ball well enough. But I think throwing the ball, I think it's enough, and I think they'll win the game.
I think you're right.
Well, I would hope you'd think so. You picked the Giants.
Well, no. To me, Shepard makes a difference.
Oh, he does. Shepard's a good player.
He is very good. So
he is an upgrade from Reuben Randall.
Yeah, and he only touched the ball, I think, twice last week. But when he did, it was big. So, and he's a rookie. Must be nice
Absolutely.
For Manning. So.
Out of Oklahoma. All right. So there you go. Those are the picks for this week. By the way, Mark Lawrence's wife, big fan of yours, loves the segment.
Really?
Yes.
Wouldn't be happy. I went to a meeting today and my pants fell down. So.
Oh, okay. We all have bad days.
Well, I've been losing weight, right? And me and Claire went to the gym, and I got back from the gym, and I just threw on this, I think they're like size 55. I threw them on, and I'm standing there, and then I didn't even feel them come down. And then I look down, and they're around my ankles, and I turn around, and there's a guy and a woman behind me. I'm like, you know.
I can hear Mom laughing now.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. I'd need a belt or smaller pants.
No, I'd go both routes. All right.
I couldn't stop laughing. The poor woman, her face was red. I said, I got gym shorts on. It's okay. She gave me $5.
Okay. Well, I need to wrap it up here. Un momento, por favor. We'll come back with more in a moment. Have a great weekend, brother.
Good luck this weekend. Go Penn State. Got to win.
Appreciate it.
All right. Bye, guys.
Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeti makes the world. Wrapping up for today, our thanks to Derek Williams. Our sideline reporter has done an awesome job all year on the Penn State Sports Network. Jason Galloway from the Wisconsin State Journal in Madison, who joined us. And, of course, my brother, Kevin, on the show today. Tomorrow, Heather Dinich of ESPN is going to join us and give us her perspective on what she's been able to find out from the College Football Playoff Committee. That has been her primary beat, is covering them. We're going to get her perspective tomorrow on the show about that. We're going to do that in the 3:15 to 3:30 half hour there. And then plenty more. We're going to preview the Big Ten Championship game tomorrow with three different guests. Looking forward to it. 8 o'clock the kickoff on Saturday night, airtime 6:30 for the Dietz and Watson tailgate show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brett, it was really great having you on the show today. Thanks for everything you did.
Hey, no problem, Steve. It was fun being on.
All right, so the picks are in. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up next, the News Hour, Jennifer Wakeman. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, your home for Penn State football.